The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From grandmothers who whispered in their baby girl ear, to fathers on dimly lit street corners instructing young soldiers to always keep their eyes open, you be queen. You were fire. You were passed through centuries on the hands of your daughters. They called you wisdom. Proverbs. On the backs of diamond-eyed schoolchildren who grew into hymnals recited by amethyst-holding urban philosophers who recited neighborhood commandments out of the windows of restored El Camino chariots to keep the warmth in their blood. Be wise. Be smart. Be black opal, brown quartz, bloodstone, and prayer. Be every form of gem. See, king told scribe, scribe told son, son told wife, wife told her daughter, and daughter told the ancestors, and the ancestors told me that you would come to give wisdom to thousands. They said you would come, dropping gem, dropping gem.
Hey, welcome. It's the Dropping Gems podcast. I am your host, Debbie Brown. I am the Chief Impact Officer at Chopra Global, the voice of daily meditation, and the founder of Karma Bliss and the host of this show. I just realized that I don't think I've ever fully introduced myself. And we're on episode 50-something. But yes, this is Dropping Gems. So welcome back, all of my OG listeners, and welcome to those that may be joining us for the very first time. This is a show where we unpack, dive into, and nourish with higher consciousness and make it incredibly applicable to our day-to-day life in service to our liberation and our expansion and our living a life that truly, deeply feels joyful and full from the inside out. On today's show, we are going to be exploring something that I haven't done a full episode on yet, and I'm really excited. We're going to be talking about working with sacred medicines, also referred to as psychedelics or plant medicines, earth medicines. And it is a very special path and tool for this journey. I'm excited especially to talk about this today because working with plant medicines has been something that has radically enhanced and healed my life personally. And I've been working with plant medicines for the last couple of years in tandem with so many other healing modalities. And I feel and believe that in my life, it has served monumental purpose and it has brought me into the highest level of my personal expression and the highest level of healing that I have had thus far in my life. So I am happy to be here with you today unpacking this conversation. I do want to share that we are going to be talking about things that are not necessarily legal everywhere, that there is a lot of taboo around and a lot of misinformation and miseducation around. And so I do want to share that don't take this show as a command in any way. And please, as always, consult especially if you have special medical concerns of any kind. And if not, consult a medical physician as you feel called. And really, if you are called to this work, I am a purist and I believe in always treating it with the respect, the reverence, and the responsibility that it deserves. So sharing that with you, be responsible and be safe. So today's episode, I am joined by an amazing woman named Charlotte James, who is the co-founder of the Ancestor Project. The Ancestor Project, which was formerly known as the Sabina Project, integrates ancestral sacred earth medicine wisdom into the modern journeyer's experience to reduce harm and expand consciousness. They believe that sacred earth medicine is key in liberating all oppressed peoples. They facilitate online and in-person opportunities for learning that support radical self-transformation in the name of collective liberation. And Charlotte has been a harm reductionist and psychedelic explorer for over 10 years, but her path through this work has certainly not been linear. After leaving harm reduction years ago because of rapid burnout, she's returning to this work with a new energy, thanks to the power of healing with sacred earth medicines. Charlotte is fascinated by communication, has a love of language, and is captivated by the power of human connection. She's been in fearless pursuit of her passion since she can remember, always gifting herself new experiences and opportunities to expand her mind. And Charlotte works to create a world in which everyone is able to live in fearless pursuit of their radical transformation. She uses her skills as a digital strategist, coach, and space holder to build and engage a community focused on pursuing equitable liberation. Charlotte's work and the Ancestor Project has been featured in Blavity, in Vogue, in Forbes, and in Input. Highly recommend checking out articles on her. And then also, there are so many beautiful expressions and ceremony offerings that Charlotte has through her work in the Ancestors Project. So without further ado, Charlotte James, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
I don't even know where to begin. And I literally never feel that way. And I'm like, I'm feeling so alive and excited to be having this conversation with you that it really feels like, where do I even begin? How do we start telling this story? And I think especially, you know, some people are probably getting familiar with certain language and terminology because so many new modalities of healing have come online, literally, figuratively, in a really big way for people, either internally or through their Instagram feeds, especially for Black and Brown communities. We're expanding in these worlds. And even though these are the worlds that are very indigenous to us, we're expanding to these worlds in a way that we were not previously allowed or thought we had permission for, or even knew about at all. So I think I have a little pressure on myself because I'm like, I want to frame this so gorgeously so that there is this deep understanding. But I'm thinking, Charlotte, let's start with you. How did you find your way on this sacred journey, working with plant medicines and then creating such a powerful company and resource to educate, to serve in this way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the framing for all of these conversations is also the framing for this story, which is to give thanks to our ancestors who laid the path for us to be in this place, to be having this sacred conversation, to be having the privilege of sitting with these sacred medicines, and just thanking, you know, whatever you refer to, the universe, source, collective consciousness, the great spirit, for just aligning all of the pieces so that we can be in this place and be having this conversation. So, yeah, big thanks to the spirit guides and the elders and the ancestors and, you know, a request that they guide our hearts and guide our tongues in this conversation as we share this truth. Because I think, as you said, it is so important that we lay this framework from a place of reverence and respect for the medicines, and recognition that we're not new to this. We're true to this. These come from our traditions. We all have indigeneity. When you go far back enough, we all have animist traditions and traditions that work with the mystic and the mystery and the medicines. So, you know, for me, that's really like, that's the easiest way to sum up 30 years of this current lifetime and however many other lifetimes it took to get to this.
Eons that came before.
But, you know, I have always been a seeker, a curious human. I was raised by two seekers and curious humans who in their own ways had deep connections to nature and the earth and different spiritual traditions. My dad was a Rasta growing up in Jamaica in his youth. My mom is a horticulturalist. And so we spent so much of my life outside and with plants and cultivating a relationship with plants. And, you know, when I look back now, I'm sure you understand this as having sat with medicine, like you start to like pick up the breadcrumbs of your life that got you to the place where you currently are. And so, yeah, if I think back, you know, one of the medicines, I'm sure we'll get into this conversation deeper, that I work with now is Kombo, which is a frog medicine. In its traditional use, it's actually a vaccine and a medicine to amplify the senses, the less human senses for hunting in indigenous communities in the Amazon. And the reason that I knew what Kombo was the first time I saw the marks on someone else was because at 14 or 15, I was like deep nerding out in anthropology and National Geographic and had seen the traditional application of this medicine. And so I was able to pick up that little thread, you know, nearly 15 years later, that then just blew the door wide open in my path and my purpose as a medicine woman and as a community steward. My first plant love relationship was cannabis. I started smoking when I was 14. And while I didn't have the language or understanding or intentionality that I have now, I can look back and recognize that it was so instrumental in allowing me to move through the stickiness of being a teenager, being biracial, having really heavy anxious thought loops, really sort of serious body dysmorphia as a young woman, and to sort of just move through life with this like, I don't give a fuck attitude, which as an adult isn't always the most helpful, but as an anxious teenager really helped me to like stay centered in myself while the chaos of life was happening around me. And I've been able to do that. I'm also an only child. My parents divorced when I was young. I had a really clear vision at the beginning of our pandemic. In a mushroom journey of feeling really disconnected from the collective chaos and the collective anxiety of loneliness and having this vision of being a small child with just chaos happening around me and having to figure out very early on how to manage myself. And so, you know, the medicines really helped amplify that ability to hold space for myself as a young person, and then also just kept my mind very open. So then when I was in college and like MDMA came across the table, I was like, let's do it, and had, you know, a couple years of incredible somatic release through dance in the rave culture, right? In like underground warehouse rave culture. Most people wouldn't frame it like that. I didn't know that's what I was doing, but just like deep release through my late teens, early 20s. Then I moved to Bolivia. I lived in a conscious community We were working with LSD and would take these massive hikes and be in nature. Mm-hmm. And then I had a couple years of not healthy relationships with substances, cocaine and alcohol, and just definitely like cannabis overuse, to a numbing space. So I steered myself off my path for a little bit, and then the little teachers, mushrooms, brought me back. And like I said, combo and 5-MeO-DMT or BUFO just sort of blew the doors back open and in where I needed to be, and put me in contact with Dre, right, who is my Ancestor Project co-creator. He served me combo, my first ceremony, and became my early teacher. And yeah, at the beginning, pre-pandemic, we had all these grand plans to do a bunch of local events in Baltimore, and that got shut down very quickly. And we put it online, and you know, it just from there just amplified. It was like a rocket ship an ancestral rocket ship that we didn't fully understand that we were signing up for. The mission.
The ancestors are like, let's go celestial. It's time.
Yeah. Exactly.
First, wow. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing the journey and all the twists and turns that came with it. And what I really heard in you describing even that realization and that self-awareness and understanding, okay, I'm going somewhere a little different with the medicine that maybe isn't serving my soul in the highest way. The thing that really connected me to that is like, oh, wow, she was meant to know both. Like she needed to understand the reversal of the way it blesses and heals you, because that reinforces you as a teacher. It creates even more language that you can aid people with as they use it in a way for their highest good.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and greater empathy as well, in understanding like where the darkness can take you when it's not integrated, like where your shadow can take you if you keep ignoring it.
And it was
a combination of the medicine and also traditional psychotherapy that sort of brought me back into myself.
Because I think that's the risk we all run in any work that we do. You know, it's like there's always a way, even the things that are like the delicious treats of the divine that are available to us on earth. You know, it's like we have to still stay in our spiritual integrity. We have to still reconnect to our self-awareness. So we say, okay, let me trust, where am I going with this? You know, it's interesting, like a little bit different, Charlotte. I was such a late bloomer to this. I was actually, as a young person, I think the way that my trauma manifested was that I became really hypervigilant with myself. And so there were so many things I would just never allow myself to do for many decades. And like doing any kind of medicines for me through the lens as a young woman, I was very trained by DARE. I talked about this like briefly on a past episode, but like I really, you know, being on the flip side of that, sometimes in our communities, we do see that, especially depending on when you were born. I'm born in the late 80s. There was like immense amount of drug abuse that was rampant in our communities. I grew up in LA. Like there was, and so that became like this whole other thing. There became so much propaganda around that, so much miseducation. Yeah. First of all, drugs were planted in the communities that turned into drug abuse, you know, but we didn't see the other sides of that. We didn't see the sacredness. We didn't see the ways to grow and transform with other types of medicines. And so, you know, when I was a young person, I was so judgmental around it. I'd be like, no, I don't do that. And I used to work in the music industry and, you know, everybody would offer and I'd be like, no, I don't do that. And I thought that somehow like said something impressive about me, right? Like I was caught in this judgment about it. So I actually started smoking for the very first time after I turned 30. And for me, it was using cannabis. It really helped me after my child climb out of like postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety.
tremendously. There was a lot. One, I was in a difficult circumstance, but two, it was very triggering for me for my inner child wounds, like having a brand new baby and a brand new baby that looked exactly like me. Like it brought up so much to the surface that I had to really meet and make peace with about myself as I was creating what my parenthood would be, what kind of woman, what kind of divine mother I would be to my child. And so I feel that like cannabis initially, it gave me the space to do that exploration. And it helped me remove so much judgment of myself as I was doing that exploration. And it helped me sleep because I really needed to sleep. And then from that, you know, I ended up finding my way. I've done some of my deepest work with mushrooms, some of my most transformative work. I need the gentleness of that medicine. I needed to ground and really connect with God as earth. In that way, connect with my body. And when I heard you, when you were sharing about, you know, dancing and adding that somatic expression with rave culture, that is something that I think would have really served me at that age too, that I didn't really fully discover until really the last handful of years. But dance has become one of the most profound practices for me of my growth, my healing, my transformation. So this is, I'm hyped.
so many threads there. Have you ever done or practiced five rhythms?
No.
Have you heard of this? Ooh.
Teach me.
So five rhythms, I really want to, Gabrielle Roth is the creator of this modality called five rhythms. And it is it's this dance that you do. It's called a wave. It has five parts. The five parts are, like flow, staccato, chaos, lyrical, and stillness. Those are like the five types of movement that you do. And it takes you through the five movements line up with birth, childhood, puberty, adulthood, and death. And they line up with the elements. And so it's just a really beautiful practice or framework for a dance and movement practice. I'm in a training PhD program for transpersonal psychology and psychedelic medicine. And we just came back from our first transpersonal retreat in Colombia. It's 10 days of breaking the character all the way down, which was so exhausting. I think I just stopped sleeping 12 hours a night like 2 days ago.
Wow.
But movement was a big part of that, and the release and the ecstasy that you can feel without medicine, like from these very simple practices that we all have access to. Drinking water, moving our body, breathing well, meditating, like the basics. But you also touched on this, like, such a key element of this conversation around, so I refer to sacred earth medicine instead of psychedelics. Psychedelics is like a term that some German dude made up in the 1950s. And I feel like sacred earth medicine, like, encompasses the animal medicines, the fungi medicine, the plants, all of it, the breath, all these different modalities. But this tension in talking about sacred earth medicines for collective liberation, specifically in BIPOC communities, is this the ways in which we've internalized colonization to be like model citizens. Like you try to have this conversation. A lot of the time you see like in this conversation on sacred earth medicine, it's a lot of young folks trying to lead other young folks, which is dope. And also when you look at these traditions in our ancestral context, they are rites of passages that are led by elders. But our elders have had to become so conservative in order to survive in this white supremacist, patriarchal, weird ass realm that we all are collectively buying into.
Right.
And experiencing. That like we don't have the elders in our communities to say, okay, kids, come on down to this like challenging but life-changing experience. That like will bring you into being a member of this collective, and will bring you home to yourself and your ancestors and your trends and your traditions. And so there is this tension. I think, you know, a large part of the reason my story started so young is that I am biracial. I was raised in a predominantly white space, and these conversations were not the same. Like, everyone was experimenting. And all of my early experiences were in predominantly white spaces, in predominantly white college, university, yeah. Right?
Like, and that word you used, it was wrapped around, oh, we're experimenting. Like, this is something we're just right. doing to pass time and have fun, but it's not really anything significant right. or important. Yeah.
It's not, but it almost becomes, it becomes this nonchalant rite of yes. passage. Instead of being like, oh, this could make us better humans, we were like, let's get mm-hmm. more turnt all right. the time.
Yes.
Right. You know? And,
wow. And that's such and a stigma that's still so prevalent, I think, for so many, especially for adults yeah. who are coming to this work. You know, like, let TikTok tell it. Like, there is like a lot of beautiful things happening with Gen Z. But for those of us that maybe are older millennials and older than that, it's like there is this stigma that we can't quite put our fingers on, or there is this lack of reverence in a way that we can't really quantify, that keeps a barrier in place from being expressive and free in this way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, the other weird, quote unquote, weird thing that I'm into and it feels like liberation to me is nudism. And like trying to have that conversation with people
oh my
is
God,
also
I
very.
I love you, Charlotte James. I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed. We are on parallel paths, my friend.
Also, can we just do like a ink check? I saw your work and I was like,
I don't know if you can see my other work.
Yeah. Yeah. Which people are also like,
talk to me about this. Talk to me about your nudism, because I crave being naked all the time. And I love being naked with people.
Yeah, but you say that and people are like, what deviant sex thing are you
exactly.
into? And it's like, no, I just like, we came into this world naked. If we look back at most of our traditions, also naked. And we've, again, bought into this like tool of control and colonization, which was used to distinguish who had more value. Like it's a tool of hierarchy to be like, oh, you have that shiny right. cloth. Now it's like, you have that, whatever designer, or you choose this way to express yourself with your clothes. And that means this about you. This though, so nudism, huge ups to my partner, who has been getting naked for years. And when we met, he was very open about it. He lived in a house where like part of the agreement was that there were roommates, but he would live there if he could be naked. So he was naked all of the time. Which is,
you know, listen.
Okay, this household is real open with it.
Wow.
Yeah, on, like a couple months into us dating for my birthday, he took me to a nude. I mean, he asked me if I wanted to go. And I was like, you know what? Why not? Like, I've been hung up on this body thing for long enough. It's kind of exhausting to carry around. And so, like, yeah.
Just
in a place where everyone else is going to be naked. And it was really liberating.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's amazing. Also, the body becomes wildly desexualized when you're just seeing a bunch of naked bodies all the time. Like, the human body in and of itself is, yeah, it becomes, at least in my experience, becomes very desexualized. So since then, we started this platform called We Are Naked, and we take people naked camping.
Okay.
And
you know what?
It's really great.
Let's stop the interview so I can go sign up for this.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Dropping gem.
So what do you notice, especially in terms of healing? Because like, so part of like my expression and part of my spiritual practice every day is that I dance naked with myself. And it's just, it's something, thank you. It yes. is something that nourishes me in a way that I can't really quantify to another person. Like it nourishes me at the core of my being. It helps me stay inside of my body. It helped me connect to my body. It helped me heal so much body dysmorphia that I had been carrying around for my whole life. And I feel like I was able to come to really the deepest levels of self-acceptance, but also like sensual expression by just giving myself the space to be nude, to just be nude for me. And really even looking at, wait, why wasn't I doing that more? Like, why wasn't I just naked for myself? It's me, you know, and then being able to kind of follow that and see, well, what was that really? And where does that show up in other areas of my life? Am I being restrained or am I being concealed from myself in a way that I should pay attention to? And that was so powerful. And so hearing you say that, you know, it's like there has to be such a beautiful spiritual science behind it of being allowed to be that open with yourself, that free, but specifically in a non-sexualized way. Like this just is, this is my human technology. Mm-hmm. This is the house of my soul. And it doesn't always have to be about if it's attractive or not, or how it looks or not. It's how does it feel?
Yes. Yes. All of that. And like if we think about, you know, people will talk about earthing, right? Like how important it is to go stand outside in the earth with your bare feet. Okay. So, but like, what if you put your whole body on the earth or you put your whole body in the ocean, right? Like, or your whole body next to the fire. Like, what does that feel like to have sun on places that don't get sun and to feel heat, you know, enveloping you? I mean, if I'm at home journeying, you know, by myself for myself, like I'm 1,000% naked. There's not, I used to like start with clothes and I'm like, there's no point. Like the greatest way to drift off into the void is without all of these attachments, these things that we have. Now I will say I love like body adornment, obviously. You know, I think that, it's a temple and you rarely see an undecorated temple. So I'm here for like the ways in which we've developed our expression and adornment of the vessel. And also, I think
jewelry is my jam.
I love it. And it's also like beyond being liberating, it's also just like a level of vulnerability to strip away like all of the barriers that we put in place between us as humans. Like,
oh, yes.
We also always talk about like how important skin to skin contact is for babies. Like, wow. Babies need skin to skin contact. Like, we're giant babies, so we also still need skin contact. Like, it's the same. Your skin didn't change as you know, it just got, there's more of it. So you need more contact on it. So yeah,
that is huge deep and so beautiful. That is so, so, so beautifully true. And it's even putting it in that context is just so powerful, because it's like, I am still that baby. I am just still that soul wearing skin. And so, of course, intimate touch from myself or others. And by intimate, I also just mean closeness, openness, acceptance. Like, of course, that is necessary for my spirit to be in optimal positioning and optimal power. That is so beautiful. Okay. Let me ask this. For someone listening right now that maybe is intrigued or curious about what this kind of medicine journey could be for them, what is a good way to start framing it to get started? And also, but actually, before we go there, Charlotte, why actually is this such a powerful companion with therapy, or to specifically use in service to your expansion and your healing, or to getting past maybe a barrier to healing that has been present?
Yeah, absolutely. So many parts to that. So I feel like most simply put, this process of colonization, which we have all been subject to throughout history, is a process of separation. It's a process of trying to create binary systems of identifying each other, oppositional systems of identifying each other, and really just this constant pulling apart of humanity. And sacred earth medicines are a direct tool of connection, of collective connection, of like melting away the stories and the traumas that we carry around with us that keep us in increasing disconnection from ourselves. And then therefore increasing disconnection from everyone and everything around us. And so in shamanism, you sometimes talk about going from domination to dominion. Or if you've ever seen that, there's like a meme that goes around sometimes that's like ego, where it's a human on top of a pyramid of a bunch of animals, versus eco, where it's like a human in the circle, where everything is together and equal. I think the medicines take us on an accelerated path to that place, to understanding that we really are just a human race. I know like a lot of people, I sometimes feel like too woo-woo having this conversation, but
it's so layered. And I know where you are with that. Like, it is, it's hard. Many things are true at once. Are we all love? Yes. Are we all divine beings of God without hierarchy? Absolutely. Are we in a system?
Is what's happening in the 5D happening in the 3D? And this is where, like, that's where there is this tension in this conversation, and why at the Ancestor Project, we feel it's like so important to create this framework of how we work with these medicines for collective liberation. Like, it is about healing yourself. It is about coming back home to yourself. It is about, you know, finding the source and giving love to, you know, the traumas that have created the ego and all of that. And also, it's important to think about how we work with these medicines that show us what's possible, like that show us this limitless possibility to make the current reality more equitable and more liberated for all people. And so there is definitely this tension in what I would say is like the consciousness community, the sacred earth medicine community, where there are people who want to skip straight to the we're all one race and we're good. And then there's people who understand that like we can work with the medicine and with the modalities to get us to a place where that becomes the reality, a reality of collective liberation.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dropping gem. For everyone listening that this may have some charge with, I completely understand, and I think I might dive into this in a future episode, but, you know, what we're sharing, so many things are true at once, and what we're speaking to is the greater, really, God consciousness, Christ consciousness understanding of the fact that we are all sacred vessels of the divine, that we are all souls that are so much more vast and expansive than any of the human and earthly labels or titles could express. So our soul does not have a race, but on earth, we are put into these systems for this experience where we do have specific backgrounds and cultural identities, where there are incredibly complex and oppressive systems in place and structures in place that have created the dynamics that we now are tearing down and breaking. And so we're kind of speaking to like this more advanced spiritual depth of soul unity. And we're also speaking to the thing that we're very clear on, that there is absolutely racial divide, that there is absolutely racism, structures of oppression, colonial past, so many things that have been, I mean, just, there's not even words, just utterly, utterly destructive mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Yeah. in all of its beauty and complication. And I think that too, like, the medicine really helps you get to this place where you can recognize the immense beauty that there is in the human experience.
Yeah.
And that there is in experiencing your soul in this place. But to get back into, like, to pull it back into the practical.
Yeah, yeah.
How we work with these medicines. You know, it really is like you could sit in one ceremony and come out and it'll be like having done 8 to 10 years of psychotherapy in one night.
Say that. Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And it seems so incredibly intense while it's happening, which it is, right? And it's an incredible release and an incredible accelerant to the path of evolution, to your own path of evolution. And it gets you so deeply and directly connected to your inner teacher, to your inner spirit guide, that then when you come back from a journey, you have just so much more capacity to manage what's happening on the day to day. We'll frequently talk about the medicine gives you a pause so that you can choose how you want to respond to your life, as opposed to being in this place, in this reactionary place, and reactions that are learned from trauma and from survival. You give yourself this gift of being able to recognize the areas in your life that you have complete choice over. Because that's like, then to take it back out to the cosmos, like that's the other challenging conversation to have, which is like, we choose our reality. Do I choose structural racism and oppression and patriarchy every day? No. But I do choose how I respond to those structures within my own life. And taking that power back little by little, like each of us coming back into that empowered state of being of choice means that we can ripple effect this out and really choose to not have these structures anymore. And so I think
a really gentle and thoughtful way you just described that, because it is such a, it's such a challenging conversation, because it really is, it's just, it's based on the level of acceptance you are at within your own self and where you are in your healing and with your connection to or relation to God. And so it's hard, and we're learning how to have it in real time in a way that doesn't convey that we are spiritually bypassing in any way or that we're creating excuses.
Yeah, no, it's such a, it's a both and I feel like the medicine helps you hold that as well, right? You said it earlier, it's many truths. And being able to hold that, not even duality, it's like beyond duality, it's like multiplicity. Being able to hold that is liberating.
Yeah. How can someone use this in tandem with, therapy?
Yeah. So there's a lot of conversation right now, around psychedelic assisted therapy, which some of that is actually accessible now. Really only ketamine assisted therapy is what is like legal and available to the public. Oregon will be the first state to have psilocybin assisted therapy.
Wow.
And then MAPS, which is the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, is pushing MDMA through FDA approval process for PTSD. I think this is also a sort of a challenging crux of the conversation. So the work that I do and we do with the Ancestor Project predominantly is outside of the medical model. We're very much like in a grassroots, community-based, ceremonial relationship with the medicine. And also recognize that that is not the space for all folks. But for BIPOC folks in our community, there is like this tension in that through history, we've had a very like evidence-based, distrustful relationship with medical institutions, right?
Yeah,
like
our bodies
have been used as testing grounds for centuries. And so thinking about then stepping into work that is so physically, spiritually, and mentally puts you in a vulnerable place. There's definitely like larger conversations around what competencies providers will need to have in order to hold space for folks who are working through racialized cultural and historical trauma. But I mean, in tandem with psychotherapy or therapy, if you are doing like really deep shadow work or work around, I know you talk a lot about inner child work and reparenting. That's a huge one. Any type of work that you're doing in therapy or conversations that are being had in therapy can be amplified and sort of accelerated and blown wider open when working with the medicine as well. And then I also think that working with the medicine gives you a much greater access to compassion, both for yourself and for those around you. So I know one of the things that I had been sort of just like talking about and around for, you know, 2 years in therapy was like, how do I forgive my parents for whatever, you know, they did? And just like, well, first you, it was almost like 12 step, like first you do this process of the forgiveness and then you do this process. And this, you know, I took like one journey with an intention to learn about forgiveness and compassion and have been able to, you know, it's not like you come out of it and you're like over it, but it's gotten to this place where you're able to like revisit the past and revisit these stories and narratives that we have without the emotionality connected to it always. And to just like look at it and see it and sort of reroute how you want to think about it in the future. Like,
you expressed that so beautifully. Yeah, that's exactly how it was felt by me in my first journey. And it was really with that same intention. It was like, you know, there are some things that you're like, I have approached this from absolutely every vantage point possible, from every perspective possible. And I think especially for some of us that are really these highly processed beings that are sometimes really emotionally literate and also very cerebral, you can hit a standstill with yourself. Like you can actually understand it too well that you forget to feel it. And so this journey for me working with the medicines has been, it is what has allowed me to come into a softness about my life and experience in a way that I never even thought was possible. And definitely in a way that I could not have gotten to by myself. You know, it's that felt expression. It really is that ability to release what the feeling is. And then that's what helps us reprogram and actually make the life we're seeking our actual lives and make it sustainable and make it something that serves us in a moment to moment basis. And I did something really similar to what you just said, where the way I approach, I was really interested in what that connection is, but what you said, especially around the vulnerability, hit so hard for me in hearing that, because all of the ways in which I've used medicines 100% across the board is ceremonial, or it's through shamanic journeys. And that for me is what I needed too, because I needed to completely disconnect from these societal structures of how we're supposed to or allowed to experience our lives and ourselves. And I needed to bring it into a sacred container. I needed to exist in this kind of divine womb, and be able to experience myself truly as that spiritual being, disconnected from medicine, from society, from all of the structures, all of the opinions, all of the perceptions, all of the thinking.
Yes, 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 yes to all of that. Yeah. This morning I sat with Rapé. Have you ever had Rapé?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I call that my blank slate medicine, because it like it just shuts down the monkey mind. Like, we have this mind that's like all the time, chatter about a lot of stuff that really doesn't matter that much. Like, we expend a lot of energy thinking about things that are either completely out of our control or really carry very little weight in the grand scheme of our lives. Mm-hmm. And you can certainly get there with meditation as well. But some of these medicines, it's just like, okay, child, shut it down. Sit your ass down. Listen to these teachings. That's what we're doing this morning. I'm just forever grateful for the ways in which the medicine has allowed me to accelerate this path of understanding myself. And I think what's so important, what you said, like, my old therapist used to say, like, okay, so if you stop intellectualizing this situation and you actually feel, right, like, what's happening? And that was a very hard question for me to answer. I mean, even in this last, transpersonal psychology retreat, medicine retreat that I was just on, you know, the levels or the ways in which we perpetuate our disconnection from ourselves, which perpetuates our disconnection from everyone around us, everything around us, from this understanding that we are everything and everyone at all moments, which can be an overwhelming sort of reality to welcome into your mindset, but is an expansive and liberating one as well, to know that, you know, everyone is a reflection of you and you're a reflection of everyone. And you said this about taking it out of this Western context into a ceremonial context, which is, you know, I think for me and my experience with the medicine has been the greatest sort of shift in this intentional path and living life as ceremony or life as ritual. And we do have these new modalities and tools, right? And like science and research and cool things that we can, you know, combine with ancestral practice. So in our practice, part of the way in which we do keep our community safe and we do ensure that this is an intentional practice is by weaving in preparation for the journey and talking to you about your physical, mental, spiritual, environmental, and communal health. And what do your support networks look like? And what are your existent practices? And where can we, you know, support you more, or enhance your practices, or have you dig and think a little bit deeper so that when you get to the place of the journey, which is really the awakening, the awareness, like, you have more tools to navigate that space and you get more out of it. Like, it is going to be an intense 6 to 8 to 10 hours, depending on what the medicine you're working with is. So you need like the stamina and the tools and the feeling of support and safety to really allow yourself to surrender into that space so you can get those 8 to 10 years of therapy in one night. And then you need folks to support you after and check in and hold you accountable. What are the insights that you gained? What are the patterns that you see repeating that you want to shift? And what steps are you going to take to do that? So that's what we refer to as the integration period. And like, that period is just as important, if not more important, than the journey itself. Like, how are you taking your downloads from your journey and turning it into daily action? Like, how are you embodying the medicine in your day-to-day life to actually shift your being and contribute to our collective liberation? Because otherwise, you're really just like on a mental playground for a couple of hours and then you come back to Earth, right? But if you can figure out how you work with the medicine, how you exist in relationship with this ally, to shift your life, to really bring intentionality into your every moment, that's how we begin seeing these really big shifts on a personal and collective level.
Oh my goodness, thank you. So beautifully, perfectly, fully shared. How can everyone connect with your work, Charlotte?
So you can find a lot of this medicine work at the Ancestor Project. The Ancestor Project on Instagram and Facebook, theancestorproject.com. If you want to come sit in ceremony, we got you. We work with combo medicine and some others that we, are really privileged to share with our community. If you're into the Naked Things, on Instagram and Facebook, we are Naked. And then personally, I'm at Created by Charlotte. And you can find me in all those places.
Oh my gosh, everyone, go. Charlotte James, I am so grateful for your time today. Thank you for just the beauty that you expressed this profound work with, and the way that you allowed us all to go a little deeper into our own minds and hearts and really investigate and see what's on the table for us. What's at this buffet? What are some new tools we can try on? You know, what are some new surrenders we can make for ourselves, some spaces?
Yes.
I am really grateful. I am going to be hitting you up separately because we're going to go be naked in ceremony somewhere.
You know, I also, if I could offer, you asked, I was listening to another one of your podcasts and you asked for like a practice or
give us some soul work.
Soul work. So one of my favorite activities that we share with folks is this questioning what you know. So take a sheet of paper and you make like a T graph, you know, like a horizontal long line across the top, vertical line down the center. And in the left column, you write everything you know because you've been told, whether it's from a parent, a teacher, a religious leader, the news, your peers, whatever it is, everything that you know because somebody has told you. And on the right side, in the right column, write everything that you know because you have experienced it. Mm. And you start to really peel back the layers of truth in your own existence. So that would be my offering for the collective.
Oh, that is good. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for this time.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been a blessing, sister.
And again, you can connect with Charlotte James on Instagram at Charlotte James and also the Ancestor Project. And Charlotte shared some really powerful, powerful, beautiful expressions on how to look at this work, how to utilize this work, how to incorporate and integrate this work into your spiritual practice or into the healing journey that you are currently on. And I want to share, and I said this at the top of the episode, but when it comes to working with these type of ancient sacred tools of the earth, I am a purist and I believe in really creating a sacred container around how you'll experience this. Now, this is 100% my opinion and move through the world as you see fit based on your intuition and your life experiences. But I personally don't use these medicines for a turn up in any way. I don't use them for fun. I use them with a deep gratitude and a deep reverence. And I set up a ceremony for myself, whether that is me working with mushrooms, me working with cannabis, me working with some of the other medicines that are available. I spend a lot of time in meditation before I go into this practice, and I set myself up to make sure that I'm safe, that I'm hydrated, that I can be cared for. And then I also do quite a bit of intention setting before I go into one of these journeys. And so that can really look like taking a moment to take in some deep breaths, getting a journal, writing them down. What are you currently walking through? What are you currently looking to be liberated from? Where are you looking to be nourished, enhanced, and healed? And committing it to paper, committing it to your heart, placing a hand over your heart, and then saying a prayer for your journey. And as you come out of that journey, really allowing yourself to integrate the process. What did I learn? What was I shown? How can I use this information? How am I relating to myself in this moment? And writing those things down and then really spending time after the experience, not just like, oh yeah, I did this, I did that, you know, not as like this kind of spiritual tokenism, but really allowing the medicine to inform you over the coming days and weeks, and then continuing to meditate on what came up for you, continuing to journal to what came up for you. I believe that is how to use these tools and these sacred gifts at the highest level of service for yourself. So I hope you will take that under consideration. And if you feel called in a way that is safe and really serving for you, start researching this work. See if it's a fit and see where it takes you. Okay, we'll be back next week. Big love. Namaste.
Hey, find me on social. Let's connect. At Devi Brown, that's Twitter and Instagram, or go to my website, DeviBrown.com. And if you're listening to this show on Apple Podcasts, please, please, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And send this episode to a friend. Dropping Gems is a production of iHeartRadio and the Black Effect Network. It's produced by Jacquees and me, Devi Brown. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.